Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Where is everybody today? I know I mentioned yesterday that I'd have to possibly jury duty, but I postponed it. I had a lot of good reasons to postpone it to September, so I'm here doing the show. I have lots of articles to cover, because I thought, you know what, in case people kind of like, oh, where is he? He's not here. And, you know, the topic today was prosperity and love and relationships and purpose. But as you know, what I do every show is that I give you messages from your ancestors or spirit guides or whatever it might be on any topic that you want to talk about. It doesn't necessarily have to be on prosperity or purpose, but I was chatting with a friend this morning about purpose. So I thought, that would be fun. Let's just talk about that if you're so inclined, but whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to call in about. I have some articles. Kind of, some of them are related to purpose and being inspired and all that sort of good stuff. But I found one I thought really fascinating. A couple of them I found really fascinating because I'm always exploring for new articles to talk about and like to talk about health. I've had my health issues. Like everybody's had health issues, I think, one kind or another. So maybe I'll start the show with that and lead into the other stuff. So I'm waiting for your calls. Either call in, or if you have questions in the chat room, we can do that. So, you know, if you're with me, go in the chat room, ask some questions, or just say hi. Okay, so a couple of things. We're talking about purpose, and we're talking about all that sort of thing. And this kind of popped in, and it's kind of a little bit of an advertisement, if you want to use that word. I have clients which I work with on Skype and in person, but more so on Skype now. Seems to be more convenient. I could do it in person if you lived in the Los Angeles area. But what we talk about and what we do is I use a form of meditative hypnotherapy or meditative therapy where I take people into a meditative state. And I use a lot of the principles of hypnotherapy because I'm a hypnotherapist by training. But the whole idea of the sessions, and they're about an hour, is to help you discover what are the fears and beliefs that are limiting you from getting what you want in life. And I have a client that we've gone through a whole series of these and other clients that you would be surprised sometimes in what beliefs that you have limit you from getting what you want in life. Now, could it be from childhood? Yes. Could it be from a past life? Yes. Could it be something that you picked up from one of your family members? Yes. It could be all of the above. And so the environment, so it's beliefs, but it's also just your fears. What are you afraid of? Are you reaching 100% in your life and what you want to achieve? So if you're interested in that kind of session where it's about an hour, I have a really special price for those people on the radio show. And I give you normally a session like this would cost you about $95 or $100, whatever, depending on the situation. But I do this particular one for people at, you know, my Facebook friends and on the radio for $60 a session. And we get a lot done in an hour. We accomplish a lot in an hour because we really get to what's going on in your life. And so you can release some things. Now, if you're going back to a past life, you might go there. You're going to release that connection to a past life. Now, I had a caller the other day that always, you know, keep going back to a past life. And was, oh, these issues from a past life, and they seem to be reoccurring now. But in the therapeutic way of doing it is that when you go to the end of a past life, you release all the energy to that past life. You let it go. You consciously say to the, I'm leaving everything here. Okay, so that's one thing I wanted to talk about. I wanted to kind of say, okay, let's do that. If you're so inclined, if you really want to make a lot of progress in your life, and you want to step forward and find your purpose and get rid of the fears and beliefs that limiting you, you know, the belief that I'm not good enough, I'm too old, I'm too young, whatever, you know, and sometimes you'd be surprised what beliefs you come up with. Okay, so that's what I do. And so I wanted to mention that, is that's one of the things I really love to offer. And so if you're so inclined, you can contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page or The website which I've listed is themessenger.info, and that's really where I do a lot of blogging work, but you can contact me because my email address is there. Or if you're on Facebook, you can contact me through Facebook. Now, I do regular readings per se, and I'd like to keep whatever readings I do here kind of brief and to the point, but that's, you know, if you're so inclined, if you want an extensive reading, we can do that and contact me. I always kind of work out the pricing a little bit to help people, you know. Not everybody is Donald Trump money-wise. Okay, that leads me to my next point. And then I'll get into some articles. Now, I want to hear from you folks. If you're in the chat room, if you want to call in, let's talk about what's going on in your lives. And before I get into some of the articles, I have this one article I think is really cool. And I thought I'd get to it. It's from WebMD. It's more about your metabolism. And some thoughts, some things about your metabolism I never knew about. And how to speed up your metabolism, or what holds your metabolism. You know, I can't lose weight. I just don't seem to ever lose weight, right? You know, you ever had that one? I just don't ever seem to lose weight. I do everything. Well, it could be your metabolism. And you're doing some things that kind of self-destruct your metabolism. So we'll talk about that. So what was my other thing I was going to talk about? One of my Facebook friends, good friend on Facebook, lovely person, wrote an article about the political system, and it seems like very spiritual people are going off in really strange tangents from her point of view, you know, getting very negative about the political system, being very critical and no showing no love and showing this and showing that. And I thought, yeah, you know what, my litmus test for politicians, you know, who I want to vote for, is I kind of do this intuitively, is who do I believe that's running will be the most tolerant of my spiritual beliefs? Who do I believe of the candidates that are running for any particular office will be more tolerant of my beliefs in past lives, my other spiritual beliefs, reincarnation, past lives, you know, oneness of humanity, the spiritual oneness of all of us, you know, so. Or who is going to be so restrictive in their religious beliefs that they're not tolerant of people like myself, I don't necessarily call myself a new ager, but I think I'm more of a new thought person. I've gone to new thought churches. I have this law of attraction principles, which I live by. And so who would be most tolerant of that? Who would be most accepting? Or who would be following a very strict ideological and spiritual religious point of view, where at some point they could be very critical of what I say and what I do. So that's my litmus test for politicians. So whether it be progressive, liberal, conservative, whatever it is, could be libertarian for that matter. A good libertarian wouldn't care a rat's whatever what I believe, right? What do you think? What do you guys in the chat room, what do you think about that? A libertarian. There's same things, positive things about libertarians and negative things about libertarians. And so, you know, to me, it's which candidate would be the most tolerant of my spiritual beliefs. Okay, so that's my thing about politics for the day. So think about it. If you're a spiritually minded person and you believe in a lot of the same things that I believe in, or your belief system is not norm, you know, the strict conservative Christian belief system or Muslim belief system or whatever, you know, if it's not strictly down the line and you don't follow the strict path, you're more tolerant. What political leaders would be more tolerant of your belief system and less likely to at some point say we need to end these people's belief system, we need everybody to believe my way, right? My way or the highway kind of belief systems. Okay, so we're talking about that. So call in, let's talk about what's going on in your lives. Okay, it's logged off. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on. Let's say if you have questions for spirit or ancestors and what they have to say to you. If you want to deal in some of your past lives and go back there and address some things through that, let's do that. If you want a little bit of a mini session where we go to a past life and release some things from a past life, we can do that here. That's not huge obstacle. And I set the show up for a whole hour, so we have lots of time to talk. So I really want to hear from you, because for me to talk for an hour, I can do it. Absolutely, I can talk for an hour. And I have left articles and things to talk about that we can do it. But I'd rather hear from you and what's going on and what your concerns are and what how Spirit can assist you in your lives. We have questions. It's about relationships. We'll see what happens. You know, I like to get into the how part more so than the when part. But if you got a when thing going on, contact me. Call in. Let's have some fun. Okay, so I'm going to get a couple articles. I'm going to come back and see who's calling in or who has questions in the chat room. And then we'll move on. So I thought this would be an interesting article. We're going to start with something. Here we go. 10 things that slow your metabolism. Okay, your genes, number one. Ooh, wow, I didn't know that. Did you know that? Your genes? Not the blue ones that you wear out in public. No, the genes that you got from your family, right? I know, that's a little bad humor. Metabolism is how your body changes food into energy. If your body is slow at burning calories while you rest or sleep, you probably got that from your parents through your genes. That kind of frustrating, isn't it? Now, I'm kind of into the mindset where you can actually change that, but turning off certain genes and turning on others. Now, that's a whole different topic we won't go to. So what can you do since you can't change your genes, which I disagree with somewhat? Focus on your habits. One of the best ways to pep up your metabolism is to get more exercise. Look for ways to sneak more activity in your day. That's an interesting thought. Do you walk upstairs or do you always take the elevator? Do you get up and walk around your desk a little bit? Do you stand while you're on the phone or do you sit on the phone? Sit on the phone while you're on the phone. No, you don't sit on the phone. You sit while you're on the phone, right? Okay. Semantics, right. So what do you do? What are your little habits that during the day that you can speed up your activity a little bit, right? Do you vacuum while you're watching TV or listening to music? Do you do things while you're watching television? Do you have an exercise bike or something that you can use while you're watching television? Little things like that. I remember this one story about this family where the father thought he'd be very creative and give his children more exercise, where he set up the exercise bike to run a generator. So the only way they could watch television is to ride the bike. So they would trade off, right? Okay, commercial, you get on now for a while, right? So that's one thing. Yeah, maybe you could set up a little generator from your exercise bike to run your TV so you have to exercise while watching television. Nah, I don't think most of us would do that, right? Okay, number two, hormones. A shift in your hormones can put the brakes on your body's energy use. That can make you tired. Some conditions like an underactive or overactive thyroid and diabetes are hormonal disease that affect your metabolism. Right? Stress also releases hormones that can trigger a slowdown. What can you do? If you have a medical condition, keep up with your treatment and make it a priority to nip stress in the bud. Stress. That's a biggie. Stress, isn't it? You get rid of stress or eliminate as much stress out of your life as possible. You know, it seems counterintuitive, but if you meditate, you can lower your stress level, okay? Because then you're not releasing those hormones that trigger a slowdown. So meditating or even walking meditations, which is you're burning a little bit of calories, right? You're walking, you're burning a little bit of calories, but you're also meditating at the same time. And included in that would be mindfulness. Mindfulness while you're walking. Let me explain what I mean by mindfulness while you're walking. Let's say you're walking down the path or the street or something, and you're paying attention to everything in the moment, everything there, where your feet are landing, how your arms are feeling, how the air feels on your body. You're just super sensitive and open to the environment around you. So you're paying attention to all the smells. You're paying attention to everything that's rushing up against your body. You're paying attention to the colors around you. So mindfulness while you're walking can actually reduce your stress levels. Mindfulness is a very, very good activity as in getting centered and relaxing and letting go of stress, because you're only paying attention to in the moment right now and everything around you that's going on, and really being open to it. Not necessarily the negative things, you know, like car crashes and stuff like that. I don't mean that, you know, like all that sort of thing. Okay, number three. Okay, I'm going to check back, see if anybody wants to talk to me. I promise I'd do that. Nope. Computer problems. Ooh, that's not fun, is it? No, my friend on Facebook. I mean, not Facebook, online. Ooh, in the chat room. Okay, I can't talk. My brain is just kind of going, we're going to slow down now for a little while. No. Let me get back to my article. Okay, so the next one is lack of sleep. Good shut-eye helps your metabolism stay steady. When you toss and turn night after night, it's harder for your body to use energy well, which can make the conditions like diabetes and obesity more likely. Most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. If you're not that there now, try it for a week and see how much better you feel. 7 to 9 hours a night. I didn't get my 7 to 9 hours last night because I had to get up early and I always go to bed about the same time. So blah, blah, blah. So I can feel it today. I can feel it. Strict diets. Now, this is an interesting thought. Think about this for a while. Kind of chew this one around in your brain for a little while, because we go on diets because we want to lose weight. We want to do this. We want to do that. Strict diets and how they affect your metabolism. How you lose weight matters. If you don't eat enough, notice that point. If you don't eat enough, your metabolism switches to slow-mo. Severe diets, especially when you also exercise, teach your body to make do with fewer calories. Ooh, that can backfire because your body clings to those calories, which makes it harder to take weight off. Although it may take longer, keep your weight loss plan realistic, not drastic. You know, there's these people that go on the 800 to 1100 calorie a day diets, and they wonder why they're not losing weight, because their body's adjusting to it. So if you're going to restrict your calories, well, there's a whole thing. We won't talk about diets, but you know what I mean by all this, because there's lots of advice on diets, and I've read most of the books or talked to a lot of people about it. So if you have any questions about diets, what's an effective diet? I know it works for me. Now, everybody's a little different. Now, this next one is really interesting. And I never thought about this in your metabolism. So let me go through this one. What does this have to do with living your purpose? Well, you know what? In spirituality and all that sort of thing, if you're a healthy person and you're living in a healthy, and you have a lot of energy, and your body is using what it needs to use to give you the energy you need, then you're able to accomplish a lot. You're able to keep going, right? If you're always sluggish and slow, and I can't do this today, I'm feeling kind of drained all the time, guess what? You're not accomplishing what you want to accomplish in your life. You got the slows, right? And you don't get a lot done with the slows, do you? Okay, so let me get back to this. So that's kind of bridging this whole thing together a little bit, kind of in a strange, kind of odd kind of way, right? Okay, so let me see this next one. Okay, I like this one. This is kind of interesting, and I'm on a low-sodium diet, so I have to be careful with this. Trendy salt. Sea salt is the darling for foodies and chefs. You'll find it in top restaurants and gourmet kitchens, but it lacks iodine, which your thyroid needs to manage your metabolism. Isn't that an interesting thought? Now, one of the reasons you would use these trendy salts, sea salt and Himalayan salt, because of the size of the actual salt itself, it takes less salt, actually, less volume in the amount of sodium that you get from the salt. So you get less sodium and you get the taste of salt. You know, a tablespoon of sea salt is fewer actually numbers of grains of salt than regular, you know, Morton salt, right? Okay, am I confusing you? And I'm confusing myself at the same time. So the key ingredient is, if it doesn't have iodine in it, you have to make up for another way, right? So just a dash of iodized table salt meets that need, or enjoy an iodine-rich food like shrimp. Okay, so I read that and I go, what are some of the other foods that have iodine in it? So they're going to help balance your thyroid, right? Because you want to have your thyroid, because that balances your metabolism. So I looked up an article, top 10 iodine-rich foods list. Okay, so you ready for this? So dried seaweed, you know, you get little sheets of seaweed, you get dried seaweed, codfish, interesting. I have some cod in my freezer. I'm going to have some cod. I'm going to make fish tacos with cod. I like to cook, so this will be fun. You know, then I'm accomplishing a couple things. I like fish tacos. I like, you know, I like to keep my thyroid working right. Okay, yogurt is the next one. Interesting. Number four. It doesn't really have any particular order other than the dry seaweed is number one in actual quantity. Then the cod, then the yogurt, and then, oh, it is in order. No, except when I get down to baked potato, which is a whole different story. Okay, so we got yogurt. Then we got the next on the list, which is turkey breast. 3 ounces or 1 cup of yogurt, 3 ounces of turkey breast, and 1/2 cup of navy beans. Navy beans. Not army beans, but navy beans. No Air Force Marine beans, right? Never mind. Okay, number six, tuna. 3 ounces of tuna. Actually, 6 ounces of tuna would give you the equivalent of 3 ounces of turkey breast. Ta-da! One large egg, 12. Okay, so two large. So eggs aren't big in iodine, but they do have it. So they mentioned shrimp, but the shrimp is not on my list, so I don't know why. Baked potato. One medium baked potato has about as much as 6 ounces of a turkey breast. So if you want a lot of iodine, eat your potatoes. Eat your baked potatoes. Okay, and then if you like you're a fruit person, strawberries. 1 cup of strawberries, okay? Or cranberries. 1 ounce of cranberries has a lot of iodine. It actually has more than almost as much as 1 cup as 3 ounces of codfish. The dried seaweed has a quarter ounce of seaweed has 450 mcgs, over 100% of the daily allowance. Because the daily requirement for iodine is roughly, about 100 mcg, roughly. About 160, okay, roughly about 160 mcgs of. So if you get your daily allowances, 2 cups of yogurt, so, you know, you can mix all this stuff together, right? 3 baked potatoes. Okay, nobody's going to eat 3 baked potatoes. Okay, but you got to mix and match, but to get your daily allowance or just a little bit of seaweed. I'm back. I know. So that's the kink. So let's go back to the article about your metabolism. So you do need your iodine. So a little bit of salt in any of those would add up to it, right? Right. Okay, I'm back. Okay, who's there? Nobody's there. Okay, somebody's there. Chat room people, you know where we're at today. And if you've just joined me, I'm taking calls. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'll let spirit, let your ancestors talk to you if you want to delve into your past lives. Specifically, we want to get into your purposes and passions in life and deal with that. You know, if you have a little lost in purpose, let spirit kind of comment on your purpose in life and where you're going. And maybe we can get that, delve into that a little bit. And also maybe your love life. What's spirit have to say about your love life? Yes. You know, sometimes, and I'm going off on tangents here and the tangent I'm going off on a little bit in your love life in past lives, because I like to do past life readings, is perhaps that person was in your past life, a past life. And maybe that's some of the issues that you're having with somebody right now. It's because you're dealing with a past life issue which you haven't dealt with yet. Think about that. That's an interesting thought, right? So we can get into that. Let's love to get into that. So we're talking about metabolism. So I want you to call in, or you can stay with me and sit in the chat room, whatever you want to do, or ask questions in the chat room. My friend goes, and spirit says, but I have no idea what you mean by what, and spirit says. And spirit says. Okay. That confuses me. Okay, so we got the metabolism thing going on, and we got the iodine. You're parched. Without enough H2O, your metabolism can stall. How about a tall, cold glass of water? Some studies show that it helps the body burn energy and fuels weight loss. At any temperature, water also helps you fill up so you eat less. So sip water throughout the day. Have a glass of water around at all times. Maybe put a little ice cubes in to keep it cool, right? Now, they suggest you can also eat more foods that are naturally rich in water, such as watermelon or cucumbers. Ooh, I like cucumbers. I love watermelon. I don't know what it is about watermelon and me. I just love watermelon. I have to buy one. And it's just me, so I have to buy the baby ones. Those tiny little watermelons are so cool. I can eat that myself. I can sit down and kind of go through a half a watermelon. Okay, you drink decaf. Now, I'm kind of guilty of drinking decaf, right? Because I mix it. Because doctor said, well, you're supposed to limit your coffee. Okay, so I kind of cheat by mixing decaf and regular. So, but here's the point for your metabolism. You drink decaf. It's a good option if you like a cup before bedtime, but you'll miss out on the jolt of caffeine that gets your metabolic motor running. Remember that some researchers show that coffee can affect blood sugar levels, so you may need to limit it if you have diabetes. I didn't know that, but I'm sure if you have type 2 diabetes, you're going, yeah, that's right, I read that somewhere, but I told me that one. So what can you do? If you can't handle caffeine, lean into other tips in this slideshow. Now, I drink coffee. I mix it. It gets you a little buzz, doesn't it? It gets you going in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Guaranteed I'm not a morning person. One of the first things I do after I've taken the dog out, fed the dog, fed the cat, is to put on the coffee. Because by the time I get ready to go get back into the real world, the coffee is made. And there I go. Not enough calcium is number 8. But this is, I just find all this stuff really fascinating, right? You need it for more than your bones. It's also a key ingredient for swift metabolism. Among the other positive things it does for your body, many people don't get enough of it. That calcium, that's what they're talking about. What can you do? There are many delicious options. You can get calcium from milk and dairy products, of course, but also many fortified foods such as cereals, orange juice, soy or almond milk, canned salmon, turnip greens, kale, and tofu. Ooh, did you know that? I've been eating more tofu. I have this little secret thing about baking tofu, and I bake it so it kind of gets a little bit hard. I buy the super firm tofu. Then I marinate it. Now, this is cooking instructions here. And I marinate it. And I have this whole marinating secret little thing that I marinated in. And then I bake it. And it's really tasty. Because you just kind of like tofu by itself. And if you just kind of like, you know, cooked it, you kind of go bake it plain. You go, ugh. But I have this little secret marinating thing that I use for tofu, which makes it really spicy, tasty, flavorful. And so I can mix it in with other things. If you want to know, you have to contact me. You have to get a reading. I'll give you the tofu recipe. Moving right along. Okay, so I'm waiting for you guys to call in. I really would like you to call in. I know. You know, I change the topic sometimes, and I think it scares people away. I don't know why. Same person. Just a different day. Now, this one is a really interesting. Number 9 on the list, which I thought was really fascinating when I'm reading this about your metabolism. Your thermostat is set too high. Set too high, it says. It's not always a good idea to heat things up in the bedroom. at least not when it comes to metabolism. There's some double entendres here, which I don't want to go to because it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. You could go there, right? Room temperature of 75 degrees keep your body from burning brown fat, which I had no idea. I haven't looked at brown fat, which is loaded with calorie-burning cells. Okay, so look up brown fat. Somebody look that up real quick for me. Okay, what is brown fat? Okay, yeah, just brown, like the color brown fat, which is loaded with calorie-burning cells. Interesting. What can you do? Now, this is interesting. Turning the thermostat down to 66 degrees before bedtime boosts brown fat levels. When it's cold outside, taking regular brisk walks can also may do that. Now, yeah, it's been like nearly 100 or over 100 here. So to get my particular place down to 66 degrees at night, I'd have to bring in blocks of ice, or I'd be having to pay this huge electric. I don't even think this place could get down to that temperature. If I crank the air conditioning all night, all day and all night, I don't think I could get to 66. I think at some point it would just kind of level out around 72, and that's about as low as I could get it. Interesting, huh? So I need to get an icebox to sleep in, right? Something interesting. Okay, what's the next one? Your meds. Some drugs can slow down your metabolism. These include many antidepressants, certain antipsychotic doctors use to treat schizophrenia. Many other medications like those can slow the heart rate. We also can have that effect. Let your doctor know if you think your prescriptions may be a problem. So there might be something else that you can take. Being on drugs. My mom passed 9 years ago yesterday. Any messages from her? Take your meds, right? No, kidding. What's your mom's first name? Let me see if I can connect with her. What is your mom's first name? We're going to go with the first name because that's really important. Not yours, your mom's. What's your mom's first name? Let's see if I can get any messages for you from your mom. If she comes in. All I know is what I'm Jerry. Oh, okay, with the G. Jerry with the G. Okay, let's see what she has to say. If I can get even. Sometimes they don't come through. They don't always. I can't guarantee that I'm going to get something. But so, if whatever I say sounds kind of something that she might indicate to you, that's cool. If not, then I don't know where it's coming from. Jerry, what do you have to say to my friend here? I think this is the message I got. And I don't think this means like in literal medicine. I think she's meaning, it says take your medicine. I don't think she's referring to literal medicine, but she might. But it's like, you know, like there's an expression about taking your medicine. Just, you know, taking whatever you have to do to change whatever you have to do in your life. So it's like you need to take your medicine. And I'm not, yeah, there's some things in your life you need to change. And you need to make some movement or change in your life. And so you need to take your medicine, or you need to take whatever admonishment or corrective measures that you need to take to make the changes in your life that you want. So don't be so stubborn, basically. Now, if that makes any sense to you, cool. If it doesn't, maybe it's meant for somebody else who's listening. So take your medicine. Take those corrective measures in your life to make the changes that you want to make, and don't be so stubborn about it. Now, tell me yes or no if that makes any sense at all to you, because I don't know. I have no clue. Just what I got. Take your medicine. Okay, good. I'm glad, because I'm like, you know, when I throw it out there from the universe, it's like, what? Yeah, I kind of go, what are they talking about now? What is Jerry talking about? Okay, so do it. Then do it. And she promises you a bright tomorrow. She promises you. Now, this is the exact quote. She promises you a bright tomorrow. So look forward. Tomorrow's going to be good. I mean, not in the sense of just tomorrow, but the future, your future, a bright tomorrow. So these are really like older expressions that we don't use that much anymore. We don't say, promise you a bright tomorrow down into infinity and beyond, right? So good. So she's saying you're going to have a bright tomorrow. Just take your medicine. Anything else? I like her. She's really nice. Your mother is really nice. Do you think so? I mean, did you like your mother? I mean, sometimes my mother was kind of like, at times you kind of wonder, my mother. Okay, she had, you know, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was my mother. Yeah, she seems really nice. She seems like a nice person. I mean, or at least in the non-physical world, she's really a nice person. But, yeah, she really does care about you a lot. You know, I'm not talking about relationships here, but I'm going to give you this. She thinks you're a bit picky about some things. You're a bit picky. You take too long to make decisions on some things. Does that make sense? That you need to be a little more decisive. That you can get a little picky. And, I don't know. You know, that sort of thing. That's what I get. So we'll leave your mom alone. Let her go back to doing what she's going back to doing whatever she's doing there. In the non-physical world. So think about that. Are you a little picky, my friend? Are you a little picky? Do you take a little too much time in making certain decisions? Like you overanalyze it? Was she at... See, now I got the whole show wrapped around your mother, Jerry. Okay, right? I got your whole show wrapped about... Do you know what I mean by a little picky? Like you take a little long, too long to make a decision. You overanalyze something before you make a decision. Yeah, see, she's telling you not to do that as much, okay? I wouldn't know that, would I? I wouldn't know that. It's not me. Okay, was she at the wedding of your grandson in spirit? And I get the words, of course. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Okay. There's something about flowers at the wedding. I don't know what she means by flowers. Either she picked the flowers or she appreciated the flowers or something about the flowers. Okay? So I'll leave you with that. Let's get back to what I was doing here. And where was I? Because that was kind of fun. She was nice. She was really nice. You must be a really nice person too because you take after your mother. She says you do to some degree. You take after her. You kind of like her too in some ways, right? Yeah. You must be a really nice person. Okay, let me move on. Where was I going next? We just did that one. We talked about, what was I going to do next? We talked about metabolism. I'm going to get rid of that article before it confuses me anymore. And I had something else I wanted to talk to. 10 ways to be happier. I thought, you know, like we're going to be kind of on a positive, up-tempo kind of. I try not to find articles that are too negative because I like to be up-tempo and positive about things and make sure that giving you information and so forth to make your life a little better, a little more upbeat, a little more positive, a little more energetic. Well, I'm glad you're a fabulous person. That's a really good thing, isn't it, to be a fabulous person? Absolutely fabulous, right? You're absolutely fabulous. Whoever's in your life must really appreciate you a lot, or they should. They don't, well, we won't go there. We'll leave that alone. Okay, 10 ways to be happier. Put pep in your step. I like that. Scientists say walking tall with swinging arms helps you feel more positive. Do your walking happy dance, happy walk. You do a happy walk with a happy dance, right? Even if you're not feeling happy, a spirited stroll can help you. Fake it till you make it. So when you get out there, walk a little faster, swing your arms, you know, put a smile on your face as you're walking. Oh, you know, force it. And once you force it a little bit, it'll start to flow and you're going to feel happier. So try that. Next time you go out for a walk, try that. A little peppier, a little faster, swing your arms, and I would say put a smile on your face while you're doing it. Smile at people, because that's the next one. Slap on a smile. Want to lift your spirits? Lift the corners of your mouth. When you smile like you mean it, you can change your brain's chemistry and feel happier. I saw the funniest thing the other day. It was hysterical. So if you really want to start laughing and cracking up and just kind of go on to YouTube and look up panda bears. And there's some videos. And there's this one video. It's about 5 minutes long. And I couldn't help. I got hysterical because the keeper of the panda bear area in must have been in China was trying to rake up leaves and put it in a basket, put the leaves in the basket and clean up the area. And there was like three panda bears there. So look up the one with the keeper. And this lady was trying to be very patient with these panda bears because the panda bears kept getting in the basket and knocking over the basket. And they thought the basket was their plaything. And even this lady tried to clean up. And it was hysterical watching these panda bears in that basket just consuming this poor lady's time. And it was hysterical. So if you want to crack up, that's a great one. Go watch panda bears videos because they're really fun to watch. And if you can't smile watching panda bears and their activities, then you have absolutely no sense of humor and this is the wrong planet and you should be hanging out with Mr. Spock, right? But I think even Mr. Spock would smile at panda bears because they're fun to watch. Okay, so if you want to smile, watch panda bear videos and they're great. They're funny. That's just my opinion. Or you can watch Simon the Cat. Look up Simon the Cat videos. And if you can't smile at watching Simon the Cat, you don't smile much at all, ever. You're just like, no, I won't say you're a loser, but you're down that road. Okay, volunteer. Oh, this is a good one, isn't it? Volunteer, find ways to get involved in your community or help out a friend in need. You'll help yourself too. You can improve your mental health and well-being. Win-win. Now, if you can't volunteer and there's nothing that really in your community that you can volunteer at, donate to organizations that you believe in. Just donating to something helps you feel better about yourself. It makes you happier knowing that you're helping something or somebody. I try to make a habit of carrying singles with me so I can give a dollar to homeless people. And I think that's really important. I give them a dollar. And to me, that makes me feel good. It helps me feel good that I know I'm helping somebody. Now, what they do with the money, that's their decision. You know, in the Abraham material, it talks about if a homeless person takes a dollar and buys some cheap wine, that just helps them feel better. I mean, they got a pretty bad existence. And if a little bottle of wine will help them feel better, get them through the rest of the day, more power to them, right? You would rather have them have a regular meal and go get a job and clean up. But sometimes it's just we need to just feel good in the moment. And if that helps them to feel good, now that's my opinion. Now, you may disagree with me, but that's just my opinion. And that's the opinion I got from reading the Abraham material. Make new friends. Now, this is an interesting point. It makes you feel good to spend time with people who care about you. So be open to new relationships, whether it's someone you meet at the office, gym, church, or park, but sure to maintain those lifelong connections too. Studies show that the more connected you are, the happier you are. Now, I've read a lot of books and reading books on longevity and living over 100, and you'll find in communities where a larger percentage of the population lives into their 90s and their into 100s, they do have a very close-knit community. Friends, family, everybody's kind of close and shares with each other and is part of it. Now, in those cases, it's not isolated communities where they stick all the old folks in one place and the young people. In Okinawa is one place, the island, the Japanese island of Okinawa, where if you watch videos about the island and the people on the island, you have young and old and everybody mixing together. And that keeps people happy, keeps people alive and vital. Society used to be that way, where the grandparents were actually the ones who took care of the children while the parents went out and worked. And so they felt vital and important. So making new friends, get out in the community, meet new people. That's what the article is saying. I need to do more of that myself. Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, right? Okay. Moving right along. Okay. I know the show's off on a little different tangent today, but I'm having fun and hope you are too, and hope some of this advice and these ideas and thoughts will help you in your daily activities and inspire you a little bit, motivate you a little bit. Also, you know, by doing these things, that if you're happy, it's easier to kind of attach yourself to your purpose and where you're going in life. You get more insights and more ideas and more connection to your higher self. If you're feeling good, if your vibration is higher, it's much easier to connect to the higher part of yourself, that part of yourself that knows where you're going and why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing. But if you're all negative, well, it's really hard to connect to that part of yourself because you're in your ego. Your ego can be very fearful and what am I doing next? So next point, count your blessings. I like this. This is like an appreciation journal or gratitude journal. Okay, write down everything that's good in your life and verbalize it too. Verbalize it. You know, what do you appreciate in your life? What are the little things? Wow, the shower was warm this morning or last night or whenever you took a shower, or your dog or your cat or your neighbors, or wow, I discovered some things on my Apple TV today that I didn't know that I had. And I'm going, wow, this is really cool. There's some other shows that I really kind of never knew it was on there. So that's counting my blessings, right? So write down everything that's good in your life. When you make an effort to look on the bright side, there was a song by Monty Python about the bright side of the street, I think. It helps you stay focused on the positive. So look for the positive things in your life. Appreciate your meals. I mean, appreciate your meals. Not just, oh, I'm grateful that I have a meal. It's so nice to have food. No, appreciate the flavors and the tastes of your food. Appreciate the flowers that are around you. Appreciate the little things in your life. Now, I remember in January, a while back, I'm outside in Southern California, and I'm looking at the trees, and I'm going, they're green. We have green trees in the wintertime. I'm going, well, I can really appreciate green trees. Now, I lived in Michigan as a child, and the trees weren't green. There was just like little sticks out of the ground, right? You know, like dead everything. You know, it's like, so living in Southern California, I'm going, ooh, I really appreciate these green trees. It just hit me really hard. So appreciate, count your blessings, appreciate these things in your life, right? Next one, how to be happier. Break a sweat. It can take as little as 5 minutes for exercise to put you in a better mood. Moving your body has some good long-term effects. Regular exercise helps you keep depression at bay. What's the key with that one? What is the key with that one? The key with that one is do something you enjoy doing, as in exercise. If you don't like running, don't run. If you don't like bicycling, don't bicycle. If you don't like swimming, don't force yourself to swim. Find an activity that you enjoy doing. Is it tennis? Is it basketball? Is it running? Whatever you enjoy doing, whatever you find fun for you. Like I do yoga and lifting weights, and I walk a lot. Now, I found this little spinner thing. My daughter, when she moved to Colorado, gave me this little thing. It's like, it looks like wheels, like on a bike, a spinner. And I sit there and I spin and watch TV. I kind of like it. I get that little cardio thing going on. It's kind of fun, you know, whoosh, 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 going really fast, spin really fast. I don't have to go to the gym to do this. I do this at home while I'm watching TV. It's kind of fun. So I've kind of something else to appreciate. A little spinner thing my daughter gave me when she moved to Colorado. So I'm using it and my legs can feel it. I like that feeling of burning some calories, but also just a little bit of exercise. Do it. Just do it. Find something you love to do and go do it. Just do it, right? Okay, next one. Number 7 on the list. It says 10, but then there's 11. Well, it must be some kind of odd page at the end, right? Forgive and forget. Are you holding a grudge? Let it go. Forgiveness frees you from negative thoughts and makes room in your life for inner peace. And that brings you happiness. Forgive. You know, forgiving somebody is not excusing bad behavior. Forgiving something or somebody, or forgiving yourself, which is really like one of the most important things to do, is forgive yourself. It's just releasing. What's a releasing? That's a new word, releasing. Releasing energies that you have stored in your body. You know, Spirit once described it to me as if you have a grudge against somebody and you have these little anger, vindictive attitudes about somebody and you're refusing them. What you've done is you basically have taken this person and put them in jail inside you. And you're emotionally feeding this person. And your thoughts are feeding this person. And you're feeding all those energies around this person. So if you really want to let go, you just release them. Just let them go. You know, let them go. Send them to the light. Send them away. Send them to get whatever they need to get done. You know, their karma, whatever you want to call it. Just let them go. You know, Oprah explained this one time that she had another lady who was in the industry. And for some reason, she was really upset at this woman. And she was holding on to this grudge against her. And so one day she was going in New York City. She was going into this building, right? And she saw this lady getting out of a car at the same time, taxi or whatever it was. And she looked at the lady, and the lady was smiling and having fun and, you know, like no cares in the world. And then she suddenly realized, I'm the one with the problem. This lady is happy. My not forgiving her has no effect on this lady whatsoever. And ever. Whatsoever. And I'm holding on to this stuff. So she said, I need to forgive this person and let it go. Because my holding on to that vindictive, anger, vengeful attitude does not affect that other person whatsoever. It just affects you. And it keeps you from being happy. So think about that. Think about that when you don't want to forgive. Who is it really affecting? Is it affecting the other person? Absolutely not. Is it affecting you? Yes. It's causing you a lot of pain, emotional pain, a drain on you. Okay, so 10 ways to be happy. I'm going to check back with you guys and see if anybody wants to call in a minute. Let me just do this next one because I talked about this earlier and I think it's really important. Practice. Practice mindfulness. Meditate for an hour a week, which is not a lot. It's about, what, 10, 15 minutes a day? It'll give you a dose of joy, peace, and contentment. It'll also create new pathways in your brains to make it easier for you to feel joy. Now, let me separate a little bit here because mindfulness is a form of meditation, but it's a little different. You don't go away and space out and go live on another planet for a few minutes. Mindfulness is really being aware of everything around you. Ooh, you can feel the hair on your arms if you have them. You can feel a hair on the top of your head. You can see the colors if your eyes are open. You can sense the breeze. You can feel your nose on your face. That's mindfulness. And that's a great exercise to get into that exercise because you're really detaching yourself from all the worries and all the problems in the world and everything you got to do tomorrow and whatever happened to you yesterday. And all you're doing is focusing on this moment. It's kind of a reset moment. You're going, I'm resetting. Okay, now I can start all over. I'm resetting. Now it's time to do something different. Okay, I'm letting go. Just going to reset myself. Okay, so let's move on. And let me check back with you folks and see if anybody wants to talk to me. Just my fabulous person is still here. If anybody's listening, you can jump in the chat room. I'd love to hear who else is on. Or see who else is on. If you're listening and you're not in the chat room, you don't have to ask questions. You can use your aliases. What do they call those things? Your avatars. You can use your avatars. Okay. So let's move on. Now I got about 5 minutes. This has been fun for me. Okay, the next one. Be happier. Turn on some tunes. Music can have powerful effect on your emotions. Pick your favorite music mix and get into the groove. You'll get a real feel-good vibe. Now, I'm sure there's some really dark, heavy music that, you know, Wagner, maybe not. That's pretty heavy. Mozart, yeah, Mozart's good. Mozart's good for the brains. Your brain. Mozart is really good for your brain. It's really good to listen to. I listen to a variety of different kinds of music, but I listen to, and dance music. Nothing better than a little dance music. Boy, it gets you out of your seat and up dancing. You know, if you're like old school dance music, disco music, a little Donna Summer, whoa, disco music. That'll get you up and moving and feeling better, right? Got into that recently. I was listening to watch this whole show on the 70s and the music of the 70s, and it was amazing of the artists in the 70s. Yeah, put on the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. You know, get up and dance a little bit. That'll make you feel good, right? Pick your music, whatever makes you feel good. I think music should move the body. And if music moves the body in some way, it's got to make you feel good and it's got to make you smile, right? Am I right? Okay. What's the next one? Get the Z's you need. Not, this is the second time I've talked about Z's, your sleep. Getting enough sleep will make you happier. Most adults need, this is 7 or 8 hours and up to 9 hours, right? Some people like to, you know, keep going, right? Know your body rhythms too, right? When's a good time for you to go to bed and what's a time for, good time to, for you to get up? I found when I was younger, and I don't get to do this now, but if I could go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and get up at about 9, I felt great. If I go to bed like 7 or 8 in the evening, I wake up, can't function. No. You know, some people go to bed at 9 and they're perfectly great. You know, they get up at 5 in the morning, they're running around like wild people. That, not me. Not at all. Not at me. So that you find your body rhythm as your sleep. You can probably sleep less if you're really in sync with your body. Right? And sleep in a cold room. Whoa, that cold room thing kind of cracked me up. Really? Seriously? In a cold room. Okay, we got 2 minutes left, or 3 minutes technically. We're through that article. And what are we going to do now? Well, you know, an hour show. I've talked. I've been waiting for you guys to call in or say something or to ask another question. Anybody else have, well, in the chat room who wants to come into the chat room and wanted to get a communication from somebody of their ancestor who has passed? If not, I can give you a quote for the day. It's from the Abraham material. Let me give you a quote from the Abraham material if I can find. I got so many pages open here. So let me find that real quick, and then we'll do that. Like, you know, do you ever get a lot of emails? Like millions of them, it seems like, every day. Okay, this is from 1999, January 10th, from Orlando, Florida. Interesting enough, right? The Abraham material, Esther Hicks, Jerry, you know, the law of attraction. If you know anything about this, The Secret. Okay. Feel appreciation for those who provide examples of well-being. How would you know that prosperity was possible if there wasn't some evidence of prosperity around you? It's all part of this contrast that helps you to sharpen your desire. Now, to interpret that, if you see somebody doing really well financially, instead of going, oh, look at them, wow, what a creep they are, look at them, you know, there must be something dishonest about them. No, you appreciate other people's prosperity. They're doing something right. You know, the Richard Bransons of the world, now I really appreciate Richard. I admire his prosperity and his values. Mark Cuban is very similar. I hold that him in the same vein, or the Tony Robbins of this world. They're very successful. They have really good principles. They care about people. They donate a lot of money to charities. So I appreciate that a lot. I emulate that a lot in my life. That's the way to live as far as I'm concerned. Make a lot of money, do really well, and do a lot of good for other people, right? Isn't that kind of like a cool thing? You know, do something you're really passionate about, make a lot of money at doing it, and help other people. Be generous. It would be nice. Yeah, think about that for a while. Think about that. Oh, making a lot of money, or a good quantity of money. Appreciate yourself and help other people. and life is wonderful. I'll be back tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow. I don't know what we'll do tomorrow. We'll probably something very similar. Hopefully I have more callers tomorrow. Maybe I'll have to put a little heading that says readings. I don't know, to get more callers, but whatever. It's been fun. I love you guys. I really appreciate you all. Have a beautiful evening. Bye now.